When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What is your take on Bears QB Caleb Williams backing GM Ryan Poles and explaining why he has faith in him?
The amount that he cares about us, the Chicago Bears, and wanting to win is why my faith is in him.
You just heard it from QB1. You agree?
Yeah, you know, I think I don't know if I agree. I mean, that is what he thinks, and he knows it a lot closer, better than I would. He must really feel, you know, that the guy loves doing his job and really cares about every player. And I think, didn't he reference, you know, the emotion that he had during Hard Knocks when he was cutting a guy? You know, I like Ryan Poles. I don't have a major problem with the way that he has gone about doing his job. I think it's just a lot more difficult a job than maybe he anticipated. And I think that it's the kind of job where you need everybody doing their job at a really high level. You know, he's had hits and misses, but, you know, it still looks like a good trade to me that he made, all the pieces that they brought in. And I think that at one point, I do remember we were saying that Caleb Williams was coming into the best situation of any first overall draft pick ever. Like, no one had ever been taken first overall and come into a team with the kind of talent that the Bears have waiting for him. Now, it didn't happen. That didn't mean anything, and it all fell apart. And they're in the midst of a 7-game losing streak and counting. Let's be honest about it. There may not be a way out of it. But yeah, the guy at one point you thought he was doing a pretty good job. At one point.
So based on the clip, I have no doubt that Ryan Poles cares. I have no doubt that he wants the Chicago Bears to be great. I have no doubt that he wants to win. But I think we could, each and every one of us here, driving, listening, however you're consuming, watching on Twitch, you might do all those things. That doesn't mean it equals success, right? You care, you want to, that doesn't necessarily right. mean it's going to happen. So I heard the audio, we're in radio, I listened to it. But then I felt, something seems weird to me. I watched it. His body language to me was weird. He felt he was like moving around a little bit, felt a little, I felt like he was a little bit uncomfortable. Again, I'm not saying he's lying. Maybe it's an uncomfortable question. I mean, what did you expect him to say?
Yeah.
I'm really disappointed that Poles drafted Odunze and didn't get me a tackle so that I didn't have to have the most sacks in the NFL at this point, right? I mean, that's not what he's going to say.
His opinion is not insignificant, though, because he is the most important employee at 1920 Football Drive. So whether it was coaxed, coerced, sincere or not, a public endorsement from the quarterback to the general manager resonates in Chicago. And it should. Caleb Williams, I didn't know that he would go there. Ryan Poles cares about people. I don't think people care if he cares about people. Just draft and sign good players and put together a winning roster that actually is hard to make, not just in theory. I think what's going on here is that Ryan Poles has a resume that you could justify doing either thing. If you wanted to go bottom line and fire him, you have every reason to if you were Kevin Warren and the Bears. I don't think they're leaning in that direction. Dan Weider is going to have a story out at 7 o'clock on ChicagoTribune.com that looks very closely at the Ryan Poles tenure, and it doesn't necessarily reflect well on the GM, but talking to people around the league. And you could go that direction as well. I think that they want somebody who's going to provide some stability and continuity. They may be tired of firing general managers after George McCaskey's fourth. I think Kevin Warren also would probably welcome somebody who's not going to challenge him. And I don't think that Ryan Poles, if you remember the last we saw them together, is going to challenge Kevin Warren. So this fits probably very tidily and neatly into the way the Bears want to do business. So Ryan Poles will be back, and it will be with Caleb Williams' blessing.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
What is the reason Bears interim head coach Thomas Brown announced his team will go through walkthrough Wednesdays from now on rather than full practice? A far cry from the Vikings, who scheduled a fully padded practice with an extra day this week. What's that say about Thomas Brown?
I think it says he probably knows his players and his team. This is a team that is trying to go week to week in the midst of a 7-game losing streak, and he's probably afraid of losing them if he asks too much of them. Doesn't speak well about the Bears necessarily. It's the difference between a team and the Vikings that has Super Bowl aspirations and legitimately thinks they could play for another, nearly 2 months left if they're going to the Super Bowl, and a team like the Bears who are just playing out the string, and they are playing out the string. They aren't going anywhere. These 4 games, thank you for the warning, they have 4 games left. The Vikings are looking at it, well, we need to do something to avoid complacency because we've got 2 months left. We want to win a Super Bowl. It's a difference between a serious organization and a non-serious organization in terms of being a December NFL team that has something legitimate to play for. Thomas Brown going to walk through Wednesdays, I suppose it also preserves the health of their team. Players got to love it, but it also makes them, the teddy bears, soft.
Wow, I think you just were answering for me 10 years ago. This is where we're at today in the NFL, right? I mean, Thomas Brown played the game, knows what it's like. And I saw this question last night, and then I watched that Thursday night football game last night. It looked like those guys needed a day off, right? And you got Patrick Mahomes talking about playing, 3 games in 11 days? Coming up here with the holidays and everything. So I think you're going to see, unfortunately, a pretty bad brand of football if you don't get these guys off their feet. And listen, maybe the Vikings only had 1 padded practice left, and maybe that's more of an insult to the Bears. Like, you know what? Let's take our physicality out on each other because we're not going to get much of a push from the Bears on Monday, and we need another push because we're going to the postseason. So maybe it's more about the Vikings worrying about the Vikings than the Bears worrying about the Bears.
Bears are a broken team, and they're limping to the finish line. That's what it tells me. The head coach needs the players to get to the end of the season. So he's taking his foot off of the pedal. I mean, a walkthrough, what does that do for you? He can talk more about his team, and he can try to teach more, but you're not going to be physically ready to play. You know how you get better at football? You practice football. And there are coaches that would grind harder as things got more difficult. They would grind and grind and grind. This is not what they're doing.
What about development?
Well,
what about player development?
I mean, can you do it by just going through little muscle memory type plays? Go through. It's a really
not if you believe
question.
What you said. I mean, you believe, better at football by playing football.
I believe that.
And if you care about development of a guy like, oh, I don't know, Karan Amagaji.
Well, he's irrelevant until next year.
But I
don't think he's going to play.
He's not getting anything out of these practices because they're essentially just meetings.
I agree. That's all they're doing now. But I think that...
Mental reps.
I think that that's what they're relying
Please.
On. It's you know, I think they're not a tough football team.
They're not a tough football team.
And I think they're trying to get to the end of the season.
All this talk about violence.
What you're doing is you're trying to keep the guys aboard.
Violence. The Bears had the most violent walkthroughs.
They might have violent stomach disasters if they, among the people watching the team, if they continue to play like this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Sure, there are a lot of questions about the future. Nobody's thought about the future.
Did you read Seth Wickersham's story on Bill Belichick? With the detail that a group that includes Belichick, Matt Patricia, Michael Lombardi, Josh McDaniels concluded the Bears were, quote, unlikely to consider Belichick, end quote, and that there were expect the team to target Lions OC Ben Johnson for the head coaching job.
Read the story, enjoyed the story, appreciate being sent that story. Thank you, Dustino. I believe you sent that to me yesterday, and I did enjoy it. I think it's fascinating that the Bears wouldn't consider Belichick. I think that the Bears, if they never talked to him, then they misstepped. I think that you need, you know, you need to use this process and this time to learn as much about your team as humanly possible. Does that mean, oh, you know, were they going to be disingenuous and have him? Yeah, that's exactly what they should have done. Have him interview for a job where they really weren't going to hire him. So what? Have him interview for the job. Talk to him about what it is that you need that they don't have. How does he see this going? What would he need for you to go and get in order to make this team a winning team in his mind? What is wrong with learning that information? You know, maybe if you interview the guy, you realize that's the guy we should hire. Yeah, that sort of thing happens all the time. They should be open. They should be open to listening to everyone. They shouldn't, like, they shouldn't be ageist, if that's what this is. Or they shouldn't be, you know, well, our GM's too young, and Bill will look at him as a guy that should get him coffee, so we can't have him come in the building. Listen, this is one of the greatest football coaches in the history of the game. There is nothing wrong with developing a relationship, getting to know him, and considering him for the job. You got tons of time. If you wanna chase Ben Johnson, then guess what? That's gonna probably take through the Super Bowl. So you got a lot of time on your hands. I would be talking to Bill, talking to Vrabel. I don't know about Vrabel and Brian Flores or whomever it is. I would bring guys like that in and talk to them and interview them to get their take on what I have and what they see within the division, whatever it might be. But Bill is available to anyone. So you really should have done this before he took that job.
There's a lot here. It was a really good story. But the other part that I want to bring up is that they also said that they thought the Bears was the most attractive job of the three at this point that are available. They did say that. The problem with this group of people, right, is Josh McDaniels, who you would assume is going to be Bill Belichick's offensive coordinator with North Carolina, or would have been his OC wherever he ended up in the NFL. And maybe Josh McDaniels had plenty of opportunities. Hasn't worked out. Not even close. It's been bad. Along the line, did the Bears talk to Josh McDaniels? I'm guessing they probably did at some point in one of the many coaching searches over the last decade. Right? Also, Matt Eberflus is making, we think, around $5 million a year, correct? For his not coach now, right?
Four and a hook,
okay. Bill got 10 a year, 30 guaranteed, opportunity to make 50. I know Biggs has a story right now, but I'm not questioning Biggs' reporting, but I don't think the Bears are going to pay $15 million a year potentially to get the Boy Wonder out of Detroit.
Well, Boy Wonder would be two jobs in one, essentially.
Well, but again, is that what we're thinking?
So
Boy and Wonder.
So you're not going to have a quarterbacks coach, you're not going to have a passing game coordinator, it's just going to be Ben Johnson, an O-line coach, and a wide receivers coach?
I mean, you're not going to have a highly paid offensive coordinator if you got Ben Johnson as your head coach.
He's your play call.
That's a different question, though, different topic.
My point is that the money.
They're not paying money.
I don't think they thought they were going to pay Bill. They were never going to get Bill. Was never getting $50 million
so
from the Bears.
I mean, that's
what
the
do
thing.
You mean, so what?
Well, that's not a good enough reason not to talk to him.
Bill wants to break the all-time coaching record, Dustin. I mean, he would want to.
Clearly,
talk to
he
you.
Doesn't. That's well, why
he
he's there.
No, he doesn't feel he's going to get a job in the NFL.
I'm just wondering why Dustin didn't send me the story. I read it, but thank you.
You got it. I've got the email to prove it. I sent it to all of you. I don't think so. Yeah, you're on it.
He sent it during the show yesterday.
It
was during the show.
Okay.
Don't you remember?
All right, back off.
Don't you remember when everyone stopped listening to you and just started staring at their screens for 10 minutes?
That happens every day. So it was 2 weeks to get today, 2 weeks ago, that the Bears fired Matt Eberflus. And they've had 2 weeks to do due diligence. So when the Bears say they have performed their due diligence when they introduce the next head coach, we'll all nod and listen and say, okay, fine. They did not do their due diligence. That will be a lie. Due diligence would involve calling the most qualified man for the job that was vacant. And if they fill it with somebody like, say, Mike Vrabel, great. or Cliff Kingsbury or Brian Flores or maybe Boy Wonder from Detroit. I don't know who it will be. But it won't be Bill Belichick, and it won't be because they won't maybe pay him. Maybe they would, but they didn't even talk to him. They don't even know what he was asking for. They didn't get his version of what went wrong based on the way he looked at the Bears organization. If he views this as the most coveted job in football, and I agree with him, that means that he's looked into this job in this organization, and he has thoughts and opinions and insight into what might have gone wrong and what he would do to fix it. The fact that they had not reached out to Bill Belichick in the 2 weeks since they fired Matt Eberflus is gross negligence on behalf of either Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren or both. Because this is the guy you need to talk to. Buy him dinner. Get a cup of coffee. Sit in the back room for hours. I don't care. Put him on a Zoom if he's too busy. He's definitely grinded tape on your team. He's grinded tape on every team.
Yeah.
So if he has an opinion and you failed to tap into that opinion, shame on you.
Yeah, I think it's a good question.
After talking to Billy Donovan on Thursday, what do you expect the breakdown of minutes between Patrick Williams and Matas Buzelis to be tonight against the Hornets? And what else will you be looking for tonight when the Bulls host the Hornets at the United Center?
Well, I think that the Matas Buzelis, Patrick Williams division of minutes will be interesting to keep an eye on, but Patrick Williams will have a minutes limit. So will Lonzo Ball, 20 minutes. I think Billy kind of subtly threw that in there yesterday. Did we know that he was on a 20-minute limit now? He was 18, gradually keeps going up. So I'm going to look at Lonzo Ball usage. I'm very curious how Patrick Williams looks getting back into the groove offensively, more importantly defensively, because they miss him there. And Buzelis, if he's able to maintain that aggressiveness, he's a rookie and he's had ups and downs, but he seems to have emerged and turned a corner maybe. And that's what Billy was alluding to, is that, you know, you try to find a way. Maybe they're on the floor at the same time. That's possible in this positionless era of NBA basketball. So I'm looking at those things. And then, of course, just Zach and Vooch. You know, they could get hot. The Bulls are probably going to win. Are they going to have the floor, even though it's not an NBA Cup game? Can they go back to the normal floor on a Friday night?
Normal floor.
Okay. Normal floor.
Can't use the cup floor.
Normal approach. And I think they probably will shoot the lights out because they're kind of due for one of those games.
Well, my hope is that Patrick Williams plays 10 minutes or less. That's my hope. I'll leave it at that with Patrick. What am I looking forward to the most? The Ball brother matchup. Ball brother matchup. That's what I'm looking forward to.
One of the Ball brothers is out, right? Lonzo's playing, but the other Ball brother, it will not be playing, so you might not want to be looking forward to that.
Well, then matchup. I guess I'll be disappointed once again.
LaMelo is missing, I believe. Yeah.
He's not playing.
Well, he's not playing. He's not missing. But he's missing the game.
Will the big baller brand be in the house?
I do not know.
I don't know, after Lonzo kind of dissed his shoe in the ESPN.com story.
Listen, here's the thing. I think there's a couple of things to look for. Now, Billy told us that Patrick Williams will be on a minutes limit. And we asked legitimately, how are you going to keep Matas Buzelis' minutes up with Patrick Williams back, even in a minutes type thing. And he said they might play together.
Yeah.
And Matas told our guy Casey Johnson yesterday they played together a lot this week, a lot in the practices leading up to this, and that they won some scrimmages together. So I think that's the number one thing that I'll be looking at. I'm also going to be looking at Vooch, because one of the things that Billy said, they had 4 days off, right? And they used it as sort of like a little mini training camp in the middle of their season. And you heard Billy say that they were going to work on how to get the ball to Vooch more. What's the best? So I'll be looking for that. I want to see evidence of what they did this week in terms of getting the ball more to Vooch and getting him more as a central piece of their offense. He's having a heck of a year, and he's having a year good enough to be an all-star, but you got to wonder if the Bulls are having a year good enough to get an all-star. So I would like to see them being able to improve the way they work the ball to Vooch tonight.
Yes. Hey, well, here's another question.
Mark Grody, 825 with you guys. If you had to pick between Kyle Tucker starting for the Cubs next opening day or Matt Shaw, which would it be? Even if answering Tucker would mean Shaw was included in the trade with the Astros, how big of a risk is it to trade for Tucker?
Yeah, I don't like the idea of giving up Shaw or Cam Smith. Those are the two guys that Bruce mentioned yesterday night who would be necessary to get this deal done. And I mean, how much are you giving up for a guy who is on he's a loaner player? He has 1 year left on his deal, and he says he's going to check out free agency. So even if you like him and he works out well for you and you go to him, he's going to tell you that he's – are you signaling that I'm going on and on? Is that
no. That's like bye-bye.
I would you, not
you're saying
give
he
up.
Could go bye-bye.
Oh, he's definitely going bye-bye.
That's what I mean. Like,
and I mean, that's the thing you may fall in love with this guy and you may say, all right, we got to bring him back. And it may cost you $300 million that you're not going to spend. So why would you give up Matt Shaw? Why would you give up Cam Smith? I don't understand why you would want to give up a good young prospect unless they were blocked or something, and they're not. Not these two guys. No. The answer is no. I wouldn't give up one. Hey, go ahead. You want to give them, you know, a Paredes. You want to give them even Seiya. Okay. Then goodbye to those guys. But I would not give up one of the top eight players in baseball or whatever, top 25 player, 45, whatever it is, player in baseball, prospect, for a guy that's going to be here for a year. No.
Well, he could be here for a decade, depending on if you wanted to act like a big league baseball team.
But
right?
Dustin, he says he's checking out free agency. So you're telling me that they're going to suddenly give $300 million to someone. That's what you're saying. Is that what you believe?
And I didn't say that. I said there's a possibility. Here's the bottom line. I understand people have, lots of Cub fans out there have fallen in love with Matt Shaw. And I get it. I'm not saying you're wrong. But like Cam Smith, okay, don't let Cam Smith be the reason that you couldn't get Kyle Tucker at Wrigley Field for a year and let him fall in love with playing in Wrigley and playing for the Cubs. I agree with Matt Shaw. I would let Matt Shaw break that deal, and that might be dumb as well, but I wouldn't let Cam Smith get in the way.
I think that's a good distinction.
I do, because we haven't fallen in love with him yet. Cam Smith is a $1 scratch-off ticket, in my opinion, right now. A $1 scratch-off ticket. I mean, Matt Shaw is at least a $10 scratch-off ticket.
Yes, I agree with that. This question was specifically about Shaw, but I agree with you making that distinction, Dustin, because Cam Smith isn't that somebody that you really have had as part of your organization long enough to fall in love with him yet. Matt Shaw has proven to be, including this past off season as part of Team USA and that international tour, a guy who I think is ready now.
He's had a wonderful tryout period, if you will.
And really, right? his arc keeps getting steeper, and so he's coming in hot. He's coming up fast. I would protect him. I don't like the idea of untouchables. But the risk involved in getting Kyle Tucker, he might be here for a decade if the Cubs were to spend that kind of money on him, if he's hell-bent on testing free agency and trying that route. But he is, and you haven't done that yet, so I don't think that's a risk worth taking. If Matt Shaw has to be part of a deal, you don't have a deal. And so I think that you've got to preserve your prospect that's ready now and go out and find your help elsewhere. Paredes, yeah. Cam Smith, fine. Say as Suzuki, see you later. But I don't think you want to do that with Matt Shaw.
You drafted Cam Smith 14th in the draft. Like, why would you give up the first round draft pick for a guy that you're always
the Red Sox just did?
Well, they gave up two of them, but they did it for a starting pitcher with 2 years of control.
I know the control is different, but I'm just saying, I'm not rushing to trade Cam Smith either. But if it gets you a shot at Kyle Tucker, I'm more willing to entertain that possibility than Matt Shaw, who's already proven, I think, more in your organization than Cam Smith has.
Oh, my God, what a question.
That's Joe Fortenbaugh. He's with the guys around 7:40 this morning. What is Chris Getz's next big project now that he's traded Garrett Crochet? If your answer is trading Luis Robert Jr., explain why it wouldn't make more sense to wait to trade at the deadline. And if you believe it is trading Lubob, then what is a reasonable haul?
I do think that the trading of Luis Robert Jr. seems inevitable for the White Sox. I don't think this offseason is the right time to do that. You just brought in a new hitting director. Let him try to fix Lubob or Luis Robert Jr. and see what you could get at the trade deadline if you are continuing on this path of rebuilding and you think that he could get you prospects. And I believe that is the smartest way to approach this. Keep him, start him on opening day, get him back to being the guy that hit all those home runs 2 years ago and gets teams enticed to giving up prospects for him. Maybe you get a deal like you got for Crochet at the deadline. Now is not the time to deal Luis Robert Jr. Spend your time more wisely. Go get some legitimate fill-ins, placeholders, legitimate major league players, so when I put together my next lineup, it makes a little more sense.
You know, make this team more likable, and this is not a Cubs-Sox thing. I don't think there was one Sox fan out there last year, definitely not one that participates in this show, that liked that last group. And it wasn't just that they lost. It was how they lost, how they handled themselves, how they talked to the media. They're a very, very unlikable team, unlikable group over there. And get one, figure out which guy, which young guy you can bring up here and play every day and get him, be the reason to come out to the park, be the reason to see them, be the reason to be proud to put that cap back on again. As far as Luis Robert Jr. goes, I mean, I think they still might have made an error trading Crochet when they did. Now they might think he's a little more fragile than Luis Robert Jr., but I would personally hold on to Lubob until the trade deadline and get as much as you can for him. And if you don't get enough at that point, it was probably the same you were going to get right now, so you rolled the dice. What do you got to lose?
Well, I think you have to understand that if you're getting, if you're making a deal right now for Luis Robert, and apparently the Cincinnati Reds are interested, but that's not a salary dump, that's a player dump. You're just getting rid of a guy who was your last all-star that is connected to too many players in the fans' minds or your mind that didn't work out and that were underperforming. This doesn't make any sense in terms of value for the contract. You're literally trading him at his worst moment, and you're saying, you know, he is utterly uninterested in playing for this team, so we have to move on. Well, that's not how you're supposed to do this stuff. You're supposed to work and get the guy back and make sure that he is motivated, that you have gotten him playing his best, and then you use that to move him. And the fact that you're talking about just dumping him in order to dump him means you'll get nothing in return. They're not getting prospects, top prospects. They will get very little of value right now for Luis Robert Jr. If you wait, you may get a lot more, but you're risking that he could just be completely uninterested. He could have another kind of strain somewhere, and he's not going to be around. So if you're so sick of all of that you feel like you have to just move on and get anybody else in here, that's a player dump. It's a bad idea, but that's what you're contemplating. I would personally want to get some kind of value for a guy who is not only an all-star player, but by far the best player that you have, by a mile, the best talent you have left in your organization. The idea of getting nothing for that, that's just not acceptable.
They wouldn't get anything for him now.
Nothing. Absolutely
nothing. What
about
signing him long-term? Ooh.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.